It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So I watched the Rockets game last night, and it was a prime example of me always being surprised there are not more reports of fights in NBA locker rooms. Like, flat out, I'm going to punch this dude. Not because of anything the Rockets did. We'll get to them and their win over the Mavs. But if you're a teammate of D'Angelo Russell, and you're watching him down the stretch take off-balance threes from the corner, take an off-balance mid-range jumper coming off a screen. If you're P.J. Washington and the night you're having and D'Angelo Russell's taking it upon himself to try to win the game for the Mavericks, it's got to be the millions of dollars, right? Like, it'll cost you money, although you might think, I'm making millions. I can cost myself a game check by hitting him in the face. Like, P.J. Washington's having a night. He is the best Maverick on the floor. And D'Angelo Russell's like, you know what? I got this, guys. Don't worry about it. He drew a couple fouls. Got to the line, that's cool. But when the Rockets weren't fouling him in the midst of his 2-for-10 night, just some awful decisions that helped the Rockets win that game. So I'm going to credit the Mavs for this. Only thing I'm going to credit them for. That's a mishmash team without Kyrie. Still waiting on Anthony Davis to play more than 3 games in a row, I guess. But the fact that none of them have punched D'Angelo Russell, at least I haven't heard that report yet,
it's a credit
to the Mavs.
Yeah, and to Jason Kidd for keeping that locker room together.
Yeah,
because he gets credit for that.
You're standing out there and you're watching him.
It was crazy.
The
possession where he took 2 in transition.
Yeah, they got a rebound.
He ran to the other corner and shot.
I don't know if he was having memories of last year's game against the Rockets as a net where he thought I'm gonna rip their hearts out again.
I think he definitely was. Because Ackerman mentioned it.
I'm sure it's one of the horrific losses for the Rockets last year. It was that stretch of games where Fred VanVleet wasn't playing, I believe. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, it was like January.
Yeah, it was maybe their longest losing streak of the year or something like that. Or at least worst stretch. And he's out there going, you know what? I know I've been 2-for-7 right now, but give me more opportunities.
Shoot or shoot.
He's not a shooter.
He just shoots the ball.
There's a difference. He's a person who shoots the ball. He's not a shooter.
Yeah. I will say it's a little bit like watching the Rockets and you're going like, man, if they had Fred VanVleet, like, we would really be cooking with something here.
Sure.
It's the same thing I think goes with the Mavericks where it's like, you mentioned AD's. I mean, honestly, just if they had Kyrie, this team's really pretty good.
They got some athletic dudes.
Yeah. Gafford was great last night.
He was limping and still made plays.
Warrior.
Yeah.
Going out on a shield. So
D'Angelo Russell. This guy was injured before the year started with his ankle. He comes back, re-injures it, and keeps playing. And he's got to watch D'Angelo Russell take off-balance mid-range jumpers to shoot the game away.
Do you think D'Angelo Russell has ever, former teammate of Kobe Bryant, do you think he ever has quoted Kobe when they're like, hey, can you pass me the ball? He's like, get the offensive rebound. Like, how about that?
I don't know if that has been said specifically, but something along those lines.
the same idea.
The same idea. Like, if you want to get the ball, go grab the offensive rebound.
Because you know
they're coming. Because I'm not a high-efficiency player, so you're going to get your opportunity. So that's the Mavericks side, where I could not believe
it's crazy.
This guy decided he was going to take it upon himself to go try to win. Actually, you know what? I did believe it. It's D'Angelo Russell.
I was just marveling
at how bad the decision-making was as he gave the Rockets ample opportunities. Of course, the Şengün play where he spun off Gafford was a big play. It was a mucky game. I mean, it certainly didn't represent or at least didn't duplicate what they did against the Celtics, where they're highly efficient, scored a lot of points. But they did what they had to do, of course. And now they're 4-2. I liked Alpi's aggressiveness. Amen continues to be a guy where he's still willing to shoot three. I think he knocked down one from the corner that I remember specifically. So he's still working on that. But the athleticism and his ability, when they decide to spread the floor, he's got a clear matchup advantage just to be a guy like a Euro step here or just using your shoulder to get some separation and the step through. He's been really good at that. Of course, the Kevin Durant aspect of it. He wasn't great early, but he got some shots down in that third and fourth quarter.
Back-to-back big threes.
He knocked down some threes, and that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
On a night where you're not scoring points in a way that you'd like, for him to just be able to get his own shot whenever he wants, and when he takes them, you got a really good feeling about them going in. So,
yeah, it is interesting that the Rockets almost seem like an offensive team now. Like, they seem like more – and last night was not a good offensive night, and – it's still you're when the shots don't go down, because I think they're what 8 for 29, something like that, from three.
Yeah.
And when they aren't going down, you're like, man, this is a slog. And then I was like, you know what? This is just like last year's team without Fred VanVleet. That's kind of what this is.
True.
And yeah, I mean, in the fourth, it seemed like the Mavs kind of figured out the zone defense. They're getting buckets basically every time down the court,
and
when they wanted it.
And it's a Rocket team. Don't remember how many zone possessions they ran last year because.
Yeah, it was only late when they went to double picks.
Yeah. Because of their inability to simply cover guys because of their size and the quickness disadvantage. So, yeah, you think about the team last year, we had a back and forth about can you be a good defender if it's just about effort. It was based off of pretty much Jalen Green turning into a good one after years of not being a good one.
Yeah.
And, of course, Dylan Brooks. We all know. With Jabari not out there, that didn't help their cause either last night. But, yeah, last year, Fred was a bulldog at the point of attack. You had these guys, what you would say, 4 out of 5, and Alpi had improved as well, that you would say at least average to plus defenders in your starting lineup. Kevin Durant will go after guys at times, but you're not always going to see it from him consistently. Yeah. And then when you throw in the double bigs, you may have to incorporate more zone. But Tari got the start last night along with Josh Okogie. And Tari, he is shooting remarkably well from three
now. Pretty good. I mean, I think it's back-to-back games. Maybe it's a three-game stretch where, you know, we mentioned it the first couple games of the season. Like, whoa, Tari Eason.
Yeah, particularly game one.
Not exactly the, you know, platform year of getting a new deal. Saturday he was awesome against Boston. Last night he was impressive as well.
Yeah, he's now over 56%. Small sample size, of course. It's very early in the year. At 56%, excuse me, from three.
Mm. Klay Thompson who?
Well, yeah, Klay Thompson's too busy with other things. I understand.
When
the Stallion is on your docket, for things you have to worry about or take care of,
I'll forgive.
I forgive whatever the hell you're doing. Hell,
a phasing out of your.
You've got your four titles. Trust me. You let people know all the time. Every time they taunt you, you put up the four.
Be the spot up guy for the Mavs.
Yeah,
now.
And if you have an off night, who cares? At least Klay Thompson has a sense not to dribble down and take mid range jumpers when the game matters. I don't think he was in the game at the time. I will get over what I saw from D'Angelo Russell. I would just know if I'm a teammate. We're having a talk. I can't hit you because I'm going to lose money and miss a game. And it's not good for team camaraderie in the locker room if I punch you in the face for taking those shots. But we're at least having a talk about what the hell you're doing out there. And you're right. They're a Kyrie away because that ball's in Kyrie's hand. I think D'Angelo Russell will at least defer to Kyrie. And in fact, if Kyrie's on the floor, he's not even on the floor. He's not on the floor. He's there out of desperation because they knew they weren't going to have Kyrie.
It's like we talk about in the offseason, all the Jalen Green possessions becoming Kevin Durant possessions.
Sure.
The same logic applies to the Dallas Mavericks. It's like, man, every time that D'Angelo Russell had the ball, and I was going to say had no idea what to do with it. He had an idea. And
He knew what he wanted to do with it. It was shoot it.
Instead of that, you have Kyrie Irving running your offense. Like, yeah, okay, I can believe in that. Add in a little bit of AD, you know, add in
that ever happened.
Yeah. 30 minutes a night in between him going back to the locker room and coming back out there. Yeah. I think now you're cooking with something.
So the Rockets now have the Grizzlies coming up. They play them tomorrow. Mm-hmm. They go to Memphis, a Memphis team in a bit of flux.
Yes.
The John Morant stuff is interesting. he is a he's not a native son, but they have adopted him as one of their own. So the trade stuff, I know the speculation occurs. If you missed it, Ja Morant was suspended for a game. He played last night in their loss to the Pistons, but he was suspended for the game for a game for conduct detrimental. We don't know exactly what happened, only that between hitting a game winner in one game and then coming out of the halftime break in another game, something occurred maybe at halftime where the coaches had a conversation with him that he didn't take kindly to. And he put on a kind of a Jimmy Butler-like performance where he wasn't involved, stood in the corner. If you think back to what Jimmy Butler did in his final days with the Heat, Ja pulled one of those. And
they asked him if he still has joy playing basketball.
Same thing. And he
that's
said,
literally
no.
A Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy
thing.
Said, I got no joy. And that's why he's with the Warriors.
And Morant also said no.
Yeah, he no joy right now. Not as happy as he once was being a Grizzly, but he's so ingrained in Memphis Grizzlies basketball. It would be Luka like as far as the uproar if they traded him, particularly at the behest of a new coach who no one has any connection to. So they'll go on to that game. Ja will likely be on the roster. But you look at the entirety of the Southwest Division. I mean, we don't do the division thing anymore, but the Pelicans are terrible. The Grizzlies are underperforming, partly because of injury and, of course, the situation with Ja and the coaching staff. And then you have the Mavericks, who are a mess as well. And the Spurs are just humming along. They lost their first game to the Suns over the weekend. But Rockets and Spurs, back like we never left, it feels like, I guess. That's the team, I guess, we have to deal with over the next decade,
and,
it looks like.
Friday, it's the first night of Cup group play, and it'll be in San Antonio against the Spurs.
So we'll see the Spurs up close. They got off to a great start. Phoenix, of all teams, beat them in Phoenix to in their undefeated start.
Right. Phoenix. No Jalen Green yet either for Phoenix. He went, what was it, three straight seasons?
Of playing 82,
and now he's missed the first, like,
the minute he gets traded.
Yeah,
he's been out so far. Phoenix 3-4, won the last couple, including that Spurs one. So that's the NBA as a whole, at least as far as the Rockets are concerned. You had some competitive games, entertaining games last night. Giannis, great teammate, defended this boy, Miles Turner, by mocking the Indiana Pacers crowd with his own boos and thumbs down. I don't know exactly why the Pacer fans were booing him. Was it because he simply left, or is it because he called Tyrese Haliburton a fake tough guy? At least a week before this game.
Probably a little of both.
Yeah, because Miles Turner surprisingly became a Buck. The Pacers and the Bucks played in the playoff series last year, so there's a bit of a rivalry there. And he had some unkind words about the franchise player for the Pacers. He didn't like it. Miles Turner was like, 10 years, man. I spent 10 years here working hard, being in all the trade rumors, which is actually true. It felt like Miles Turner was on the verge of being traded for the last half decade. Never got traded, made a finals appearance, and the first time he comes back, he gets booed. Giannis, as I said, being the good teammate, made a game winner to beat the Pacers and mocked the Pacers crowd. Giannis feeling pretty good, man.
Yeah, I was about to say Giannis still good.
Yeah,
still really good.
And
really freaking
good. As much as we don't believe in the Bucks as a real contender,
they got to have a pretty good record, right?
They're 5-2, and they go to Toronto tonight, so they may be 6-2. But it's the NBA back to backs. Who knows? So Giannis so far carrying that Bucks team, and
shout out
and no KPJ.
Yeah. Oh man, imagine how good
wait
they'll be once
KPJ
gets
back
involved.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
He's watching that D'Angelo Russell game, feeling jealous.
that could
be me.
I'll look at all that freedom that guy's got.
I remember those.
Yeah, that'll be great if I can do that. The one guy, I don't know if he had a good game last night, but Ryan Rollins, he has played really well for the Bucks.
It still is, like, in my book, I just kind of like, hey, until we get to December.
It's only 7 games in.
Until we get to December, all this is kind of fake. Like, it's all, sure. Like, at least the Ryan Rollins, you know, Kevin Durant's still good. I'll buy that.
Sure.
But the, you know, the out-of-nowhere guys, I'm like, let's give it until December. Let's just see how real this is. God, but Ryan Rollins, I'm starting, I believe a little bit in Ryan Rollins.
Like, if he's going to pop, it doesn't mean that the Bucks are instant title contenders, but if they actually have a real backcourt player that they can help, that they can lean on,
they're frisky.
That changes what I think about them a little bit, particularly in the Eastern Conference. We will move away from basketball with that. We do have our misery index. for our college football talk. We'll do that in the second hour. We'll also get into the Texans when we come back, because it is the closest we can get to the midway point of the season when there are uneven number of games, or odd number of games, excuse me, with 17. So I want to take a look back at the Texans offseason acquisitions and see how those have played out through half a season. And it's based off a conversation the morning show had, but because we don't plan anything, it was very haphazard. So we didn't even remember half the guys who were actually on the roster who were acquired in the offseason. So we'll take a look, because you're 3-5. It said you can't build a team through free agency. That's supposed to be done through the draft. You just supplement through free agency. And the Texans didn't make a lot of big expenditures through free agency, but they added pieces and guys they expected to contribute. When you're 3-5, let's just assume you whiffed. We will actually take a look at those guys and some of their draft picks and hear from D'Amico Ryans on the 2025 draft class when we come back. So Sean and I, till noon. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. You certainly are welcome to join us. Before I go to break, I do want to remind you, Monday Night Football was last night. I didn't see it. You know why? Because I'm a YouTube TV subscriber, and I don't have ESPN anymore. If you are like me, go to keepmynetworks.com to find out what you can do, or find out what's being done to get your ESPN back. And, of course, we're inching ever closer to a weekend of college football without it as well. So I had to find a way to watch games. At this point, I got to find a way to watch games again. So keepmynetworks.com is a website you should go to. That's keepmynetworks.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean, do you know who Nick Niemann is?
Nick Niemann?
Yes.
No, I don't.
Neither did I until I decided to take on this this topic of Texans acquisitions and how they've done.
Okay.
Nick Niemann is a linebacker that they acquired by signing him in free agency in this recent offseason. They signed him to a 2-year deal.
I thought he was going to be the guy who compiled this list.
No,
or something.
No, Nick, no, I wasn't. No, Nick Niemann is a linebacker who plays for the Packers, which is a bit of an issue because the Texans signed him in this offseason to a 2-year deal, guaranteed him $4 million. Now you're just getting to Cal McNair's money. But they guaranteed a salary, game assigning bonus, $1.5 million this year, $1 million next year. So he didn't make it to opening week. They cut him. He plays for the Packers now. I did not know Nick Niemann was a person who existed until I saw this list.
I'm going to go 0-for-1 for the Texans.
So we don't need to go through the entire list. But there are some notable examples, but I need to point him out because I didn't even remember he was a Texan.
Yeah, because everyone still remembers, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Sure.
And although his tenure was
very short as well.
3 games longer.
Cam Robinson, you know.
Yeah, Cam
Trent
Robinson.
Trent Brown, so-and-so. So
Trent Brown's pretty bad, too.
As we go, at least he was a...
At least he's still on the
Cam team. Robinson was a guy they expect to start at left tackle, or at least one of the tackle spots.
Likely. Trent Brown's still on the Texans, right?
Is he?
I forgot. I know he wasn't active for a little while because he was hurt or something.
Yeah. Trent. So the question for me, thinking about at least free agency, we'll get into the draft here. He is currently on the roster.
There we go.
Any guys who have overachieved, just think about all the guys that are playing, that are new.
Free agents.
Has anyone been a hit, do you think?
I mean, if you would have told me that Nick Chubb was going to be the starter and, like, the really, you know, until the last few weeks, like the bell cow back, I'd say the results are like, oh, this is on the upper side. You know, this is above the 50% outcome of, Nick Chubb, okay. When we were seeing the practice reports from the people at Texans camp being like, whoa, Nick Chubb, hey, he's a great guy, you know, but the athleticism seems to have left him. I think Nick Chubb's been a little bit better. Not a home run, but he's been a little bit better considering I thought he was just going to be like a change of pace for Mixon.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't broken 3.3 yards per carry in the last three games.
Okay.
It was better earlier.
Yeah.
But since, you know, since they got off the Baltimore Ravens where he went for that big run and had 5.5 yards per carry, 3.2, 3.3, 3.1. He's averaging under 4 yards per carry.
Okay.
So it's like the Nick Chubb you saw in training camp.
Yeah.
The people saw in training camp.
Yeah.
He's right around there. But, you know, he'll run through a tackle
or
two.
I don't know. It's just like physically. It's just like maybe it's because I still remember his knee pointing the wrong way.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I'm just like, wow, this guy still falling forward.
So you would put Nick Chubb as a neutral or a positive?
I'll put him at neutral.
Okay.
Neutral. Now that I see the numbers, neutral.
You mentioned Chauncey Gardner-Johnson gone.
Bad.
Christian Kirk?
Bad.
And he's also a progress stopper, which is worse.
Yeah.
He's not only is he not impacting anything, he's taking reps away from Jalen Knoll.
Yes. When I asked for clarification that this was free agency or trade guys, I was because the only hit that immediately came to mind was Knoll. So we'll get to him when we talk draft.
Maybe Ed Ingram. He's probably surpassed expectations because he was not good last year.
Yeah, when it comes to expectations, yes, for sure.
Yeah, Sheldon Rankins is probably neutral. Daryl Taylor doesn't play very much. EJ Speed doesn't get a lot of snaps. These are some of the guys. Jacob Johnson gets stuffed at the goal line. So these are all these guys they acquired. Not a lot of, what a great signing by Nick Caserio.
Or even just like, that guy had a good game.
Yeah, Justin Watson, throw him on there as well.
Yeah, like, that guy was good against Seattle.
Tremont Smith, who was a Texan before D'Amico Ryan's, they brought him back. Core special teamer. Okay, you want to give him that?
You know what? I kind of like what Tremont
Smith. Yeah, give him that. He's a core special teamer. Yeah. So that Ronald Darby, never knew you.
No.
Yeah. So you mentioned the draft.
Yeah.
And the name Jalen Knoll. Well, D'Amico Ryan's was asked about comparing the 2024 draft class to the 2025 draft class. You know, the one that has Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock. The one where those guys were immediate starters, or at least immediately getting big-time snaps. Here's the question, I believe, maybe from Landry Locker, and the answer from D'Amico Ryan's.
Jalen and Kamari had good games yesterday. You immediately trusted them, and they've been consistently impacting the game. What's stopping Jalen Knoll and Jaden Higgins from doing that early in their career?
You're talking about... I mean, four completely different guys. I don't think you can there's not apples to apples as you compare those guys. But all our young guys have done a really good job. They're all growing, developing, doing the things that we asked them to do. I think Jay Knoll and Jay Higgins have done a really good job of the things we've asked them to do.
I think Jalen Knoll is a victim of circumstance. You trade for Christian Kirk. You don't give up a lot, but he has a high salary. He's going to play when he's healthy. No, he hasn't been healthy that much, which is just a Christian Kirk way, but he's going to get snaps, particularly when you're in the midst of a season where you still believe there's hope. Now, if we get later in the year and they are completely out of the playoff race, then it'd be malpractice not to give Knoll more snaps.
And you're like on the brink too, where it's like you need to win these games and coaches are just going to err on the veteran side of things.
Sure.
So yeah, Kirk, as far as people taking snaps away from Knoll, like Kirk is more understandable than Braxton Berrios, where it's just like, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah, that was something you couldn't understand. The first time you could have Braxton Berrios back, you're running him out there for heavy snaps. Didn't make a lot of sense. We talked about how silly it was for him to be the punt returner. Frank Ross, when asked about it, was like, well, he's rotational. Since that point, Jalen Knoll's your punt returner. Yeah. He's not your kick returner, but he is your punt returner. So overall, we don't need to go through every name. We went through enough. Was it a productive offseason for the Texans? And when you include the draft, you got a starting left tackle out of the draft with middling results. You got a receiver that you think is popping when he gets his opportunities. The other receiver,
I'll just say with Higgins, I haven't seen much that makes me go, ooh, I like Jaden Higgins. You know, it's just the touchdown catch he had against the Niners didn't really make a move. He just kind of ran into open space.
Sure.
So I'm still waiting on Higgins to pop. But yeah, Knoll and Ursary, I think Ursary's actually kind of surpassed expectations that you could have had, where it's like, oh, he's not killing you on the offensive line. Like, he has to play, Actually, he didn't really have to play. He earned a job in training camp. And, again, is not, like, horrendous. And Noel is good in flashes. Good when he gets the opportunity. So, I would, and especially for a fourth rounder, I think that definitely counts as a hit. Everyone else, you know, Jalen Smith, we'll see you healthy, you know, it's early.
I would say
Higgins, no.
The draft, even if we're just basing it off.
Oh, Woody Marks?
Yeah, I forgot.
Solid.
Yeah, Woody Marks.
Solid.
Yeah. Solid. So I would say the draft, clearly a bigger upgrade to the roster than the free agency.
We have three names that we think are solid or better.
And we can't get to that in
And there's
in
way more free agents to pickups.
Yeah. So they didn't do a good job there. And partly one of the reasons why you're 3-5. Mostly it has to do with the offense and their inability to score. You brought up the stat. When it comes to inside the 2-yard line, they don't score touchdowns.
Zero.
We'll hear from DeMeco Ryans on his philosophy and his mindset about that when we come back. And the coach is proving, once again, he hears a lot of things. And now that the season is going the way it is, he's bound to hear more negative things. So he did acknowledge that once again about the conversations regarding what they should do when they're trying to score touchdowns. So we'll hear from DeMeco Ryans when we come back. But before we do that, Sean.
Yes, I want to talk to YouTube TV customers and YouTube TV customers only. Well, no, actually, you can still listen if you're not. But you can get the sports you love on ESPN back. That's right. You missed Monday Night Football. Well, don't miss Tuesday Night Maction. Don't miss Miami versus Ohio. I mean, Miami bouncing back off a tough loss to SMU. Oh, no, wait, that's the other Miami. But this is a big time Maction game, and don't miss it. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We will hear from DeMeco Ryans on their issues scoring in close and what his mindset is. The team they're facing next, you know, the next opportunity to fix their problems are the Jags. The Jags make a trade. The Jags acquire Jacoby Myers from the Raiders, a guy who's wanted to be traded since training camp. He's wanted out of Las Vegas. He gets his wish. The Jags just put Travis Hunter on IR. Brian Thomas Jr. is a little banged up, so they make an acquisition. A 4th and 6th round pick go to the Raiders for Jacoby Myers.
Good pickup.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the Jags are going for it, per se, but they got a chance to make the playoffs. They need wide receiver help. So they go get a guy who probably will be pretty motivated because they saved them from the Raiders. So I'm sure he'll be very thankful.
And and they just played.
Saw him up close. Yeah. And Geno Smith had a pass knockdown, and there's a guy wide open in the end zone for the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
But the pass was knocked down, so the Jags won their game. Part of the misery that was Sunday for the Texans. The Jags win, you lose, and, of course, you don't gain any ground if you had any hopes of catching the Colts because they lost to the Steelers, which, of course, the Texans themselves lost to the Broncos, partly because of the thing we're about to hear. They can't score inside the 5-yard line. Ofer scoring touchdowns from 2 yards or in. And we saw it play out right in our face on Sunday. It was kind of embarrassing to watch them struggle. They tried to run the ball down the Broncos' throat, pretty much weakness against strength, and it played out the way you would expect. Here's DeMeco Ryans on his mindset and how they're trying to get into the end zone.
We throw the ball on the goal line. We don't get in. Hey, you guys should run the ball more. We run the ball. We don't get in. Hey, you should throw. So there's always a wish I would have, what I would have done different. Look back at it, do a different look.
The wish is you score touchdowns. We don't really care how you get in. It's just that you're inept doing it either way. So, yes, when you throw, I don't even know if it's like, hey, they should have run it in. As far as a philosophy, it's like, hey, you guys are bad throwing it. Try running it. And then when you're bad running it, how about add some creativity to the runs or the throw? I don't know if we've seen, I don't remember, I'm sure they did it, a play action, a leak a tight end into the flat or to the back of the end zone. I imagine it was called. There's just so many times where they failed that I didn't document all of them. But we don't care how you do it. In fact, it's not our jobs to, you know, dial up the play and say, hey, this is how you should get it done. Just get in the end zone. Find a way. Because they have said before, D'Amico himself has talked about how no one outside the buildings can tell them how a play should be run or how they should do things. You know what? I'll give you that, coach. I don't even want to do it. I just want to look on Sundays and not watch you go between handing the ball off to Jacob Johnson, having your quarterback be stuffed at the goal line, have Davis Mills try to take off from the 2-yard line on a quarterback jump over the pile. Was that what I saw? When he saw there was no push, he decided, oh, maybe if I jump, Davis Mills, he's an athlete as far as a regular person is concerned. But when it comes to the NFL, he's not one of the top athletes. I don't want to see it. Stay on your 2 feet. The quarterback, the starter's already hurt. I don't want to see Graham Mertz out there. Thank you. Just an aside for this week, because it's likely Davis Mills is going to start. I don't care. Just get in the end zone. I'm not even going to instruct you because I know how you don't like that. Okay. Let's hear the rest of it.
I approach the game from a physical mindset of, hey, if you're on the 1-yard line and we got to knock somebody back to get in the end zone, that's how I approach it. Like, and that's how I always approach it. And then when we do get in the end zone on the fourth down, we got a false start.
Pause that.
So it's like we.
You weren't in the end zone. CJ didn't get it. You didn't get in the end zone. You can say you got it. You didn't get it.
We'll never know. No. This is one where the John Gardner, you don't know.
You don't know. I remember the play, of course.
It looked like he got stuffed.
It was Ursary who had the false start. But he didn't get it. Cut it out.
But you don't know.
I feel like I know.
Second effort.
I think his helmet might have been in the end zone. Not the ball. All right. Let's move on.
We got a false start. So it's like we got in the end zone.
No,
CJ got in, and but that's take points are taken off the board because we have a false start. We're not locked in on the snap. So it's just so many things there that goes in. Yeah, there's a physical mindset. That's what this game is built on. You have to have that mindset, and you should want to be in those situations where, hey, we got to knock somebody off the ball to go get 1 yard. If you don't have that mindset, then, yeah, you're probably not going to get in.
Yes, I would prefer if you did it the easy way, where you could just turn the ball, turn around, hand the ball off to a running back, and they waltz into the end zone, like a lot of teams are able to do. But your weakness has gone against the strength of opposing defenses, and the defenses know what you're going to do. You're going to run it up the A-gap because that's what you do. Because I think in some ways, you hear him talk about it, you want to get that knockback, you want to get in. It's more embarrassing to throw the ball and not get in, because at least you can say, hey, we tried to be physical and get in, and hey, we just got stuffed. But when you throw the ball from the 1-yard line, the 2-yard line, and don't get in, everyone goes, hey, how come you didn't run the ball?
Yeah.
So I think, I don't think it's playing that much of a part at all, but I think it's like, hey, we're men, let's be men. Can you get us a yard? The answer's been resounding no.
Yeah, well, it's because
a resounding no.
If you told me the defense lined up, like the Houston Texans defense lined up and needed to get the ball into the end zone, I think they actually could just have like the, hey, man up, gritty, push the guy in front of you back. I think they could do it. I just think this offensive line isn't good enough to do that. Like, I don't even think it's a indictment on like the, you know, you got to just reach down in there and just do it, man. It's not even that. It's just like, no, they just can't do it. Like, you can get the grittiest like 5 guys off the street. Guess what? They won't be able to push an NFL offensive or defensive line back. I think that's where we're closer to that, where it's like, I don't think it's a toughness issue. I don't think it's a identity issue. I think it's just like these guys, Jake Andrews and Lakin Tomlinson and Ed Ingram, just can't do that. You just can't run behind those three guys.
Juice Scruggs when he's in.
Yeah, and Scruggs. Like, you just can't do that and push a defensive line back.
And they're not the biggest guys. Lakin Tomlinson in that 320 range, but the rest of those guys are in that 305, 311 range. So the interior is not the biggest in the world.
Yeah.
So that might play a part too. Jake Andrews, we saw what Leonard Williams and the Seahawks did to him.
I mean, exactly.
They're not gonna push people around. That's not how they're built. You just go to the Broncos, who, you know, they didn't run the ball great. And of course, they didn't have a big day on offense until the fourth quarter. They're not a big offensive line either. So it's not like the Texans are unique as far as their interior, not big guys. But that's not unique to the Texans. It's just like these are smaller dudes who, on a down-and-down basis, maybe even outweighed by the defensive tackles they're going against, particularly in goal line sets. So.
Yeah, they also don't seem that good at run blocking at the 25.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, they're not a great run blocking unit.
That's the thing. I just don't think they're good at run blocking. And so it's not like Houston Texans football is that you just push the guy in front of you. It's like, sure, they can't do that. Like, they're just not good enough to do that. I don't know what to tell you.
Stop doing it. Find a different way.
Run to the outside. Like, take that.
Can Woody Marks beat someone to the corner? Yeah, maybe.
Toss
I don't know.
It. Like, let's just try something
I don't even need the Ben Johnson thing where he's got three guys handling the football in the backfield and he throws it to the quarterback.
God, no. I don't trust these guys. Yeah,
not that. I don't need that either.
Yeah.
Just a little deception.
Just like you said, the tight end leak out to the back of the end zone. Like,
yeah.
That's a pretty basic play. Like, you see teams score touchdowns.
You set enough of
every
a precedent
Sunday.
That you're just going to run up the middle anyway. It will probably fool people.
They'll fight.
Yeah, because they have not seen you try that
for
enough.
Three straight games you've tried to do this.
Okay. So the mindset is you want to be physical.
Yeah.
I understand. But you got to know your limitations. That's all. That's all we're saying.
It's like I could want to be physical against a NFL defensive line. Won't help.
I could try to want to get my jump shot off of Rahman Thompson. Well, it ain't going to happen.
No, you look like Cooper Flagg.
That's my mindset. I want to get this jumper off. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Got to go to something else. And by that something else being don't play basketball.
Take him off the dribble. Oh.
No, don't play basketball. Get Rahman Thompson. That's my change.
Definitely don't
strategy.
Get him mad.
Yeah. Don't need him dealing with his rage when it comes to me. All right, we'll go to break with that. It is, it's been tough sledding. And it'll probably be very familiar or similar when you face the Jags, because if I remember correctly from that game, it ain't like they were moving the ball on them. It was a mistake-prone game for both teams. Now, at least the Jags will have a new receiver, because I remember that game. The Jags couldn't catch a football. They at least will have one new receiver.
A lot less Dyami Brown and Parker Washington.
Yeah, if you missed it earlier. They made a trade for Jacoby Myers. It is trade deadline day.
It is deadline.
Don't expect the Texans to be very active. Not sure why you would at 3-5, but hell, the Cowboys are, and they're 3-5-1. They've made a trade for Logan Wilson. Apparently, they're in the mix for maybe a Minkah Fitzpatrick or a pass rusher. It appears Minkah Fitzpatrick is a backup to a pass rusher. Why don't they go for both? Maybe they don't have enough assets. But the Cowboys seem to be active. The Texans unlikely, 49ers looking to make a move too. So if anything comes down before we wrap it up for the day, we'll certainly let you know about that. And of course, you have a chance to watch all that stuff go down on ESPN. At least some of you do. Because if you're like me and you're an ESPN, or excuse me, a YouTube TV subscriber, I can't watch the trade deadline shows on ESPN because it's currently not available. Go to keepmynetworks.com to find out what can be done. If you're a YouTube TV subscriber, the trade deadline stuff going on, ESPN's reporting about, of course, NBA basketball, you know, they carry that football weekend coming up, all that you're missing out on if you're a YouTube TV subscriber. So go to keepmynetworks.com. That's keepmynetworks.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
Full of plenty of sports. That's Michael Carroll. He'll join us on Friday. So while I was unable to watch the Cowboys Cardinals game due to my subscription service, there is this stat. Cowboys and Cardinals last night. Cardinals win that one with Jacoby Brissett as a starter. Sean, the Cardinals have played 14 games on Monday Night Football. They have lost 10 of them.
Okay.
Of course, that means, well, it doesn't always mean they've won four. It could have been a tie, but they've won four of them as well.
That feels about right. In my lifetime of watching Arizona Cardinals football, sure. Feels about right.
All four wins have come against the Cowboys. They are 0-for against the rest of the league.
Wait. So they
0-10 against anyone not named the Cowboys.
They're 4-0 on Monday Night Football.
I don't know if they're 4-0. I don't know if they play the Cowboys more than four times.
Okay.
But they're 4 wins in their history.
They're 0-10. They're 0-for.
They're 0-for against anyone not named the Cowboys. Maybe they have a loss to the Cowboys too.
It's crazy they play the Cowboys a third of the time that they're on Monday Night.
No one really likes to watch the Cardinals, so they just shove them on.
They
got to
sanitize it.
Yeah, put the Cowboys on it.
It's like putting the medicine and peanut butter for
your
dog.
Yeah, make sure the Cowboys are there to get people to watch.
And then here's a little bit of medicine. Last night Jacoby Brissett won, but here's a little Jacoby Brissett for you.
Yeah, I'm going to find out if they have lost the Cowboys.
Maybe Josh Rosen, too. For 1 year. 1 year only.
Yeah, and then Chris Greer decided to make a trade for him. Part of the reason he's not there anymore with the Dolphins. Hey, there are many reasons.
Hey, Josh Rosen's doing great things now.
I'm sure he is.
In business school.
I'm sure
he's literally in business school
right now.
I'm
sure he's having a fine time. So I just pulled it up. It looks like they've lost to the Cowboys. This can't be true.
Even crazier that they've played the Cowboys five times.
This can't be real. I'm looking at this. I got to find it the right one because that one seemed off. I'll have that a little bit later. Let's get – I can't see the caller's name. We have someone who wants to talk about D'Amico Ryans.
Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre wants to talk about D'Amico Ryans. Speaking of Cowboys, Cowboys fan here, Dr. Dre wants to talk about D'Amico Ryans. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Yeah, I can talk about Cowboys too. Let me. When a dog goes to the bathroom and takes a dump in the backyard, what attracts it? Flies. You know, flies are attracted to the poop. Not even the flies are attracted to the Cowboys or that sorry ass quarterback that makes $60 million a year, who can score 10 points for his offense against a meager Cardinals defense. Broncos were tough, yet they put up 22. But, you know, you couldn't do nothing with Arizona. Back to my other point, D'Amico Ryans. I think I called about, six, 7 weeks ago, Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans. They need to take some mind off. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm telling you, man, these guys are sensitive. And then last week with D'Amico saying, you good, after the press conference. Man, he pulled a page right out of Bill O'Brien's playbook. Appreciate the time, and we'll holler at you later, fellas. See you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, the reaction to criticism seems overblown, and referencing it all the time seems a little much. Like, you could feel it any way you want, but it being a consistent, at least recently, a consistent theme in your pressers seems like, what?
It definitely makes it worse.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if it makes, the situation worse. It makes me feel worse about the Texans situation, that D'Amico Ryans feels the need to address the criticism while also not really overcoming the criticism. You know, like, it's not like it's a level of, like, we see it in college football all the time where it's like a team's winning, but their fan base is like, we should be winning by more. We're not winning, like, you know, we're not running the ball for 400 yards, so we don't like this. It's like, no, the Texans aren't even, like, winning.
Yeah.
Like, they're just kind of bad against good teams, especially on offense. They look anemic. Like, I don't know. There's not like a victory lap element or a, like, you guys just relax and let me run my program the way I want to run. It's like, no, this is just like, seems pretty incompetent on offense, and people are pointing it out, and the Texans are taking great offense to that.
So I went and did the research. That stat is incorrect. Like, they have played far more games than 14 in their history on Monday Night Football. It's a funny stat, but an incorrect one. It's not true. They've played about 40-plus games on Monday Night Football in their history. I was like, wait a minute. I know the Cardinals aren't an attractive team, but they've been around a long time.
Maybe it's like the last 14. I don't know.
Maybe it's the Arizona Cardinals as opposed to the
Chicago Cardinals?
Chicago St. Louis Cardinals. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what that is.
They're mixing in some baseball.
I know. Yeah. I'm just trying to explain to people. They were the St. Louis Cardinals, the football team at one point as well.
They should go back to doing that, by the way. Just name them all the same thing.
I mean, Pittsburgh did it with the colors.
Yeah. You know what? Let's bottle this. Use it for July. I was actually going to go off on that, but no, yeah. Let's use that later.
Yeah, we'll save that for a slow time when the Astros are messing around with who's injured and who isn't. We've done that
exactly.
For the first 15 minutes.
To avoid DL talk,
yeah.
IL talk.
Yeah, we'll get to why the city of Pittsburgh decided to give the same all their teams the same color. All right, fake stat in some ways. I just hoped it was true. It's just not. But the Cardinals did beat the Cowboys last night. And the Cowboys didn't let them deter them. They decided to make the Logan Wilson trade official, and they're not done trying to acquire defenders. So we'll see. To Dr. Dre's point, didn't put up any offensive points against the Cardinals.
I wouldn't be buying. Like Troy Aikman said on the broadcast, and I wasn't actually able to watch that broadcast.
But
I saw the clip.
I did see the clip, yeah.
You know, maybe I should go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN. I'm missing out on Monday Night Football. I missed out on college football tonight. If you're a YouTube TV customer, you should do the same thing. But Troy Aikman was like, because Jerry Jones did a weird thing where he teased a trade, where he's like, hey, we're going to make a big trade tomorrow. And Troy Aikman on the broadcast was like, maybe they should rescind that. And I kind of feel the same way. You know, we mentioned how they're linked with Minkah Fitzpatrick and a bunch of defenders. I'm sorry, guys. I don't think this team's two defenders away from, like, being good. I don't know why. We're talking about trading for all
this. Is Bland eligible to come back and Trayvon Diggs? Is that they think they get their two corners back and add?
They've never been good on defense this whole year. Like, I
can't speak to Jerry's mindset.
Yeah, no. I mean, but come on, guys. Like, so what are we doing? Are the Bengals going to trade for a bunch of defenders, too?
No, they traded one away.
They're in the same boat.
Yeah,
they traded one to you guys.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You want to make sense of what the Cowboys are up to?
No,
we don't. We'll go to a break with that. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We'll do our misery index. We'll talk some college football. We have not touched on that much this week because it was all Texans yesterday. And, of course, the Rockets played and got a win over the Mavs. And we just heard from D'Amico, and we heard Dr. Dre's thoughts on D'Amico saying they should take medicine commonly attributed to what women take. Thank you, Dr. Dre, for that. We will be back.